Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody this morning. We have a number of visitors with us. We're awful glad that you came to worship with us today. And if there's anything we can do for you, please let us know. We would like to assist you and make your visit here profitable for you. Thank you for worshiping with us. If you would, turn in your Bibles to John, the 12th chapter. We're going to go ahead and get into our lesson right now. We covered this passage recently in our Wednesday night Bible study, and it was a very powerful passage. It says, "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." There is a lot of lessons in that one passage. Many different sermons. We're going to try to condense it all today into one message. It starts out, "Nevertheless." When it says "nevertheless," we've got to look at what has happened prior. Because of what has happened prior, this has taken place. Jesus has just raised Lazarus from the dead in chapter 11. That's not an everyday occurrence. That is not one of those events that did Jesus do that again? Yeah, he did that a couple weeks ago. I was there for that one. This is not one of those events that comes around on a daily basis. He's just raised somebody from the dead. And in chapter 11, it makes no bones about it. This man was dead. He wasn't sick. He wasn't asleep. He wasn't in a coma. He had been in the grave for 4 days in the tomb. Previously in the book of John, Jesus has turned water to wine. He has fed 5,000 people with just a few fish and some loaves of bread, many of which are still talking about that. He's walked on the water recently. The healings that he has participated in, the healings of diseased, the ill, the lame, one of which was the blind man in chapter 9. And in verse 32, it says, "Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind." This is not somebody that psychosomatically thinks they can see better. Now, he was born blind. He was a full-grown adult, was born blind. His parents testified that he was born blind. It's not like me and Joy are going to get this little act together and go on the road. He comes limping in and I be healed. And then he's moving. It's not one of those. This man, everybody knew. He had been born blind. He was blind before the ministry of Jesus had ever started. And we see, nevertheless, in spite of all of these things, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. In spite of all of those things, many believed in him that he was the Son of God. But they did not confess him. Confessing that he is the Son of God is a major point of our salvation. We just can't mentally believe in Jesus as the Son of God and keep it to ourselves. I know up here, I know in here, But I'm not going to confess it for many, many reasons. Maybe I'll be teased. Maybe this, maybe that. In this situation, because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. In Matthew 10, verses 32 and 33, Jesus himself says, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." We have to confess that belief. It's not enough to just believe that he's the Son of God. We saw that many people believed that. But because of their fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. We see the eunuch verbally confessing this belief when he's being baptized by Philip the Evangelist. Philip approaches the Ethiopian eunuch on his travels. They get discussing the scriptures, and he sees water. He says, "Well, see, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized?" He's putting the two and two together. In verse 36, it says, "Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?'" That's where the study had concluded. The importance of baptism. And the eunuch sees water. And he's putting the conclusion together. "I need to be baptized." And Philip responds. Then Philip says, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. We see that the eunuch had belief. He understood about baptism, and he made that great confession. When people come forward wanting to be baptized, we will ask them, "Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God?" And they make that great confession, the confession that Jesus tells them that they have to make. And then they're baptized. We see the attitude. Many had believed, but it says, because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. What was it about the Pharisees? What was it that about the Pharisees that prevented people from wanting to make that confession? In John 9, in dealing with the healing of the blind man, we see what their attitude was. In verse 20, it says his parents were called on the carpet to address the Pharisees. "We want to know about this guy that healed your son. Was your son born blind?" All of this stuff. And here we see that they are confronting the Pharisees. His parents answered them and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age. Ask him. He will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone confessed that he was the Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. The Pharisees had made it such that if you confess him, people were flocking to Jesus. They were losing a lot of their political and social influence, their religious influence on people. They had a lot to lose, and they'd made it to where if believe all you want, just don't tell anybody about it. Sounds like the devil to me. Devil don't mind if you believe, just don't want you to do anything about it. Keep it in here. Keep it in here. Jesus said you can't keep it in there. What good is just a mental belief? It's got to have action with it. Action of repentance. Action of a changed life. Action of confession. We confess Jesus every day by the way we live, by the way we speak, by the things we teach, by the way we conduct ourselves. Here's the attitude of the Pharisees. This is what people, nevertheless, they weren't confessing him. People believed. You can't do the things Jesus was doing, the things he was teaching, the miracles he was producing, without believing. But because of the Pharisees, they had it that if you confess, you're being kicked out of the synagogue. In John 11, verse 53, we see a little bit more of their attitude, the nature, what they're really about. Then from that day on, they plotted to put him to death. We see the nature of what the Pharisees were all about. We can't have our way, so we'll just kill him. We'll eliminate him from being a competition to us socially, religiously, financially, etc. In chapter 12, earlier in this verse that we're looking at, it says, "Now a great many of the Jews knew that he was there, and they came, not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests plotted to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him, many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus." Jesus was causing quite a stir. Jesus causes quite a stir in our lives. Causes waves in our families sometimes. Causes waves at work. Causes waves with our friends. From when we change our lives, it brings about uncomfortable situations. Jesus criticized the Pharisees. Jesus pulled no punches with them. And we will see that in some of the scriptures. In Matthew 6, leave your finger there in John. Matthew 6, starting in verse 1, says, Jesus says, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets." Who's he talking about? He's talking about the Pharisees. "That they may have the glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." These Pharisees, everything they did was for show. To be seen by men. That pat on the back. That self-esteem that they get from doing it, not from God, from man. And a couple of verses later in verse 5 it says, "And when you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." Their reward is that praise that they get. "Oh, that was such a beautiful prayer." That's where it ends. They're sure not being praised by God because of it. Later in chapter 6, "Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites, with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. When you do your charitable deeds, when you pray, when you fast, don't be like the hypocrites, the Pharisees. Don't be like them. In Matthew 23, he calls the Pharisees hypocrites 7 times. 7 times. Outright calls them hypocrites. They were the religious leaders, and he's saying they're hypocrites. He calls them blind 5 times. These are the guys that are supposed to be leading and enlightening and leading the way for the Jews. They're blind 5 times. Calls them fools 2x. Calls them whitewashed tombs, serpents and brood of vipers. He's calling them snakes. This is who people are scared of and are not confessing because of. Then it ends up with, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. It gets down to peer pressure. It gets down to their friends. If I confess that I believe in Him as the Savior, I might have to live up to it. I might have to change the behavior I have when I'm with my friends. Pride. Pride. To confess that Jesus is the Savior, the Son of God, there's consequences for that. That I better change. That I have to change my life. Not everybody is willing to look in the mirror and face that. That I've got to change my life. What do you mean I have sin in my life? What do you mean that I'm not okay as I am? That I've got to change? That's uncomfortable sometimes. At work, that we confess His name to people at work. Now, we were talking in Bible class today. There's right and wrong ways to do it. There are appropriate ways to do it. But people did not confess their belief out of the fear of the Pharisees. Sometimes people today don't confess their belief for other reasons. We don't really encounter Pharisees on a day-to-day basis, or do we? I think we do every day. They're just maybe not dressed like them. They're maybe just not called Pharisees, but we face that every day. I'd like to read the verse one more time in closing. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in Him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess Him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Do we choose God or man? Every day we come across that decision. Every day. It's not a one-time confession. It's a daily confession. By the way we live, conduct ourselves, the way we speak, where we are, who we're with, we're confessing Him. If you believe in Jesus, that He's the Son of God, that God sent Him to save us from our sins, one of those things that we need to do, God's done His part. He loved us enough that He sent His Son as a sacrifice for us. But our part, we have to believe. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We then have to act upon it. We have to confess that belief to men, like Jesus said, Matthew 10:32. We have to repent of our sins. What good is belief, but it doesn't change our lives? We have to repent, Luke 13:3. We have to be baptized to wash away our sins. God paid a very high price. Jesus paid a very high price for us. We have to be baptized to wash away our sins, to take advantage of that gift that God has given us by being baptized. And then that's the beginning. That's the beginning of our walk. It's not the end. Being baptized, coming up out of baptism, is not the end result. That's the beginning of our life as a Christian, because we're added to the church upon that. And then we live the rest of our lives, Revelation 2 verse 10, remain faithful until death, and I will give you a crown of life. If you have not put your Lord on in baptism, this is a good day to do it. If you need prayers of the congregation, if you need to repent of sin, don't take an extra minute of your life. Repent right now. If it's a public sin that you have committed, by all means repent publicly. Ask forgiveness of your brothers or sisters. If it's a private sin between you and God, go to God in prayer and ask forgiveness and repent. Do something about it. Not just ask for forgiveness, but change your life. If you need to respond to the invitation, please come forward while Steve leads us in the invitation song. Let us stand and sing.